The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1 with All Care Pharmacy. Expert advice to keep the whole family healthy at All Care, the largest Irish-owned pharmacy brand.
5 on 551 or ray at rte.ie. Now, the people in Matt's Week, Ireland, sent us in a big jar of jellies, but it has a combination lock on it, and they gave us four mathematical problems that we had to solve. And using the answers from those four mathematical problems, you open up the jar and you've access to all the lovely sweeties inside. Laura's with us. We're going to talk to Laura in a moment. She's on the cover of the Irish Times today. So the first one was 20 jelly beans, a mix of 6 red and 14 yellow ones. How many yellow jelly beans would you have to eat in order to end up with a mix of 50% yellow, 50% red? I think that's 8. So I'm going to put 8 into the thing. There you go. 8 is in there. Yeah, that's the top one. The second one is too long to read. It's about people lying to each other at a table. A lady suddenly says, there are 7 people at the table. Not true. She's a liar. There's only 6. So I think the first person is telling the truth. So I'm going to put 7 in there. 7. And there you go. And then the one that you helped me with, as in you, the listeners. In a family, each girl has the same number of brothers as sisters, but each boy has 3 times as many sisters as brothers. Are you with me, Laura? How many boys in the family? Well, it's 2 boys, you see, because one guy would say, I have 1 brother and then I have 3 sisters. Do you see what I'm saying? Yes. Whereas a girl would say, I have the same numbers of brothers and sisters, 2 and 2. So I think the answer is 2 there. And you're not the only one who's not following. I think a lot of people have switched off already because mathematical problems create hassle for an awful lot of people. And finally, this number is twice 1/5 of 1/2 of 20. I reckon that's 4. And I'm going to put 4 in and then see if it opens. No, I'm wrong. So there you go.
It was a wild guess.
There you go, it doesn't open, so I'm all wrong. So somebody will have to help me out there. That's very embarrassing. My maths teacher is going to be on to me, Mr. O'Toole. This number is twice 1/5 of 1/2 of 20. So 1/2 of 20 is 10.
Yeah.
1/5 of that is 2. And that multiplied by 2 is 4, yeah. So one of them is wrong there somewhere.
Something else has gone wrong.
Anyway, we'll come back to that.
Don't look at me, I teach yoga, I don't do
right,
that.
Laura Farrington, as I say, is on the cover of the Irish Times today, a photograph taken by Frank Veal, and you're doing yoga with a dog.
We're doing yoga with puppies, yes.
Right, explain yourself.
So I suppose to start, our company goes into companies around Dublin and we deliver all kinds of wellness activities and classes. Some is yoga, some is Pilates, and the Dogs Trust wanted to bring some wellness to the employees out there. So they got in contact with us and together we developed this puppy yoga class. Right. So there's kind of 2 benefits to it. One is the well-being of the employees. They're getting to do some yoga. They're getting time out of their day. And then secondly is for the socialization of the dogs. So one thing Dogs Trust pride themselves on is the socialization of the dogs. They really prioritize that. So the dogs got to mingle with us and the employees got to take 40 minutes out of the day, right, which was nice for them.
And you have 3 very cute puppies in the picture there.
There's about, I think there was about 5 or 6,
was
actually.
Yeah.
And they're very small. They're only 6-week-old terriers that had been abandoned, but they were very good.
So this was bespoke for the people out in Dogs Trust.
Yes.
You don't normally do this. Is this something that could take off, do you think?
I think so. I did a couple of classes in the States.
Right.
That is along with goat yoga is quite popular.
Goat yoga?
Yeah, that's quite popular over there.
With a living, breathing goat?
Yeah, so they just let the goats wander around as you do yoga. And they
you're making that up.
No, I'm not. You can Google it.
Because we had Brendan Courtney and his partner in and they went to London to study. You might know what this is, but it's a yoga based on the postures and positions of animals.
Yes. Oh yeah, animal flow.
Animal flow, that's exactly it.
Yes, that's really popular as well.
Yeah. So just explain that to me again, because I was trying to figure out what Brendan told me and I couldn't remember.
So it's just based on different animal postures. So for instance, you will be, let's say, a dog and you'll be kind of in downward dog posture.
Yes, yes. Well, we all know downward dog. Well, most people do.
Yeah, and any kind of like cobra pose, you'll be on your belly in the shape of a cobra.
Uh-huh.
Some teachers go as far as to make you make the noises in class. So it can be quite funny.
And it's called animal flow yoga.
Animal flow yoga, yeah.
Right, and there's goat yoga.
There's goat yoga, there's puppy yoga, and there's also wine yoga, which is really, really popular.
Right.
That's where you drink wine.
And do yoga.
Yes.
Yeah. How long are you a yoga teacher?
I'm a yoga teacher now about 3 years, 3.5 years.
Right, okay. There's a huge demand, isn't there?
Huge, and it's only getting bigger and bigger. I suppose.
And do you find the sort of the profile, the age profile of your clients is changing?
Yes. So obviously yoga is now very mainstream. So younger people are into it straight off the bat. It's getting more popular among people in their 40s and 50s, 60s, yes. 70s.
Men
are getting into it as well. Yes. You'll find in companies, it'll be a 50-50 split. So it'll be guys and girls. Yeah. Because it's not just the exercise you're getting, it's the mindfulness side of things as well. So it's a great alleviation for stress and anxiety.
And it's the stretching.
It's stretching, yeah.
Yeah. So if a dog's doing yoga, how does he do downward dog?
A dog. Well, now I can't speak dog and I can't instruct a dog. But they tend to do that naturally. I don't know if you have a dog yourself.
I do have two dogs.
Yeah, so have a look at them when they wake up in the morning. You'll see them stretch. Yeah. They'll do up dog and then they'll do down dog.
But here's the problem, because I was trying to do yoga at home a few years ago when one of them was a pup and he just wouldn't let me at it.
No?
No, because he was crawling all over me.
Oh, yeah, they tend to do that.
That is a problem, yes. So how did that work out in the dog's trust?
Oh, they were crawling all over us.
Oh, right. And you didn't mind that?
No, it was lovely. It was lovely. They were just jumping all around the place. They were mingling with us and with each other, so there was no issue there.
I met a man in his 50s from somewhere rural in Ireland a few years ago, and we were having a chat and we were talking about the aging process and, you know, keeping up running and not doing running and going to the gym and all that sort of thing. And he had reluctantly gone to a local yoga class in the parish hall.
Yeah.
And he said it transformed his life.
So he got addicted.
And he said to me, when you go back on the radio there, tell all men over 50 to do yoga.
Absolutely. Yeah. Especially the older you get, you need to make sure that you're looking after your joints, the muscles in your body, because they just get naturally tighter.
Yeah.
So it's never more important to do things like yoga and even Pilates, strengthening your back and your core.
What's the difference between Pilates and yoga?
Pilates is very much core based. So it strengthens your lower back and your core. And then yoga is, so there's 9 different styles of yoga.
Right.
And yoga is a bit more about the, along with the physical, it's about the mindfulness side of things. So in a yoga class, you will generally always do a little bit of meditation, a little bit of mindfulness practice, and then stretching. So there's 3 components to yoga.
Have you been abroad to study or did you do it?
Yes, I was actually working in the corporate world, a big telecommunications company for about 7 years, very stressed, very anxious, decided to leave, went to India, and the rest is history. We set up the company and here we are.
Right.
So big change.
How was that? I'm fascinated by that. What age were you when you made the change?
I was 28.
Right.
So I was very embedded in the company I was in. I was doing very well, but I was just feeling stressed and anxious. And when I was in school, there was no mindfulness practice. I didn't even realize that that's what I was. I was stressed and anxious, but it was at the point of it beginning to affect my work life, my daily life. I couldn't really clock off from work, which I think everyone can relate to. So I tried yoga in Dublin, tried a couple of random classes, didn't really get into it. I was definitely not a very mindful person back then. And I said, you know what, I'm just going to go to India, the birthplace of yoga. If I don't connect with the practice there, then it's definitely not for me. I'm just not a very mindful person. But then I did. I fell in love with it.
But did you go to India specifically to learn how to teach yoga to come back and set up a business?
No.
No.
I went to India because I was stressed and anxious and I wanted to get out of Dublin.
Uh-huh.
And I had fully intended to go back into the corporate world. But I just felt so good after 2 months over there that the thought of going back into that environment just, it wasn't the right move for me at the time.
Mm.
But had I known then what I know now, still be yoga, meditation, mindfulness practice. I just didn't have anything to turn to at those times.
So you would have stayed on what you were doing?
Oh, for sure.
Would you?
Yeah.
You just would have done all those things as well?
Yeah, I just would have incorporated them into my daily life, into my work life. 100% I would still be in that corporate life. Not to say I absolutely love what I'm doing now. I'm so glad I found it. It's amazing running your own business, but I just didn't have the tools back then to help myself.
That's interesting.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people feel that way. I think wellness is huge now in Dublin and you see people doing all these weird and wonderful things, whether it's running or yoga or Pilates or meditation sessions, trying to figure out how to find that work-life balance.
Mm. And what do your former work colleagues think?
Well, they knew me back in the day. So I was very different back then in terms of how I looked at wellness. I was probably in the pub every Thursday, Friday, Saturday. That was my way of alleviating stress, like most people, you know. But now I have a very different set of tools.
And do you still drink?
I do. A little bit, though, not as much.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit of wine with wine yoga.
I've never tried that. I must try that wine yogurt.
Fine. Well,
what are you going to do with that brilliant picture from the cover of the Irish Times? Are you going to get it framed or?
We're going to get it framed. We're going to schedule a couple more puppy yoga classes as well. A lot of people have been asking. And yeah, so
cow yoga, sheep yoga.
Well, we definitely have a lot of them here. It would be easy to do, but I just don't know how that would work.
Well, definitely, you could get a pat in the head. You want to be careful.
Yeah, right.
Laura Farrington, thank you very much. Great to meet you.
Thank you very much.
And it's Umbrella Wellness is the organisation.
So if you want to find out more about the puppy yoga classes or any kind of yoga, it's umbrellawellness.ie, or you can follow my Instagram for an update, which is Irish Yoga Girl.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Can't get over it. I didn't get into Jarrah's sweets. Anyway, I'll come back to that tomorrow. Now, Samantha Rawson, our dog expert, joins us in studio. Good afternoon, Samantha.
Good afternoon, Ray.
Have you ever done dog yoga?
No.
Yeah, see, it's dog half hour now. From dog yoga to dog expert.
Good dog day.
You're very popular. People, there's a lot of dogs out there, and a lot of people have issues with their dogs.
Yes, yes.
I wonder what the population of dogs in Ireland is.
Too many.
Too many. I thought you were going to say 2 million. Too many.
No, too many.
Too many dogs.
Too many. Because, you know, I know it's World Mental Health Day, but people have very busy lives and dogs are getting left out.
Yeah.
So dogs take an awful lot of time. So unless you have time,
just don't get one. Dogs, you saw that during the week. And we spoke to, it was research from Canada, but we spoke to somebody from Tilda, that's a longitudinal study in Trinity, about the positive effects that dogs have on people who are aging.
Oh, right, yeah. Well, obviously, if you're retired, you do have time.
Yes.
So a dog at that time of your life is a fantastic contribution. But if you're busy with family and children and pick up and leaving and here, there and everywhere, dogs can sometimes add a bit of stress.
Yes, and instead of take it away, I guess. Yeah. Okay, right. Dear Samantha, I have a German Shepherd, puppy male, 11 weeks old. How do I, one, stop him snapping? Two, eating his poo? Three, stop him pooing in the house? Thanks, Alec.
First thing, research the breed. You have the dog now, so it's a bit late. But German Shepherds are working dogs. They are, they used to flock guard sheep and they're now used as guard dogs. They are very bitey in the early months. And it's not really aggressive biting. It's just they're very chewy and mouthy and they love to stick their teeth on things. So provide lots of alternative chew items other than your hands and don't reprimand him for snapping. Sometimes people will, you know, maybe try and give a dog a tap on the nose or, you know, kind of use their hands to say, stop that. That actually makes your hands more attractive and it becomes a game. So your hands then become a toy. So keep your hands well away from the dog's mouth and try and distract them.
Okay. Eating his poo and pooing in the house.
House training, we spoke about house training the last day. House training, you really need to give the dog a small room that you contain the dog in, so that his bed is quite small and his bathroom is large. So his bed is in one corner, say a utility room, and you cover the whole area in paper and slowly you remove the paper and try and put a soiled piece of paper out in the garden so a scent is out there.
Okay.
But you can't have a puppy who's not house trained in a large kitchen, because to them the whole kitchen is a bathroom. So you keep them in a small room and that's where crates come in, but a utility room with a baby gate is just as useful.
Good luck with that, Alec. I have a Westie who's normally placid and calm, but when I start the Hoover, she goes berserk.
Okay.
She tries to attack the head of the Hoover, and even when I stop the Hoover, she remains barking at it. Sorry, we shouldn't laugh, Mary. Sorry about that.
That's great if there's nothing on TV. Take out the Hoover. Terriers are...
Terriers.
They're terriers, yeah. Westies are terriers.
You're a terrier. Yeah,
so they like to go after things, and especially things that make noise. And dogs don't know what a Hoover is. So suddenly this thing is moving around the living room, making noise, and probably has a whirly brush on the end. I don't know what kind of Hoover it is. But it suddenly is animated. So a dog doesn't know it's a Hoover. You know it's a Hoover. So the best thing to do in kindness to the dog is to put the dog out of the way when you're hoovering.
That's easy. Okay.
And turn the Hoover off.
That's straightforward. How to stop one-year-old pup from running away when he's off the lead. Stop him jumping up playfully on people and stop him excessively drooling in the car. Otherwise, he's perfect.
Oh, God. Sounds like stopping a dog.
There's a lovely sense of humour about these.
You can't stop him from being a dog. He's going to do all those things, unfortunately. Stop him running after people. You have to teach him a bit like a small child. If you had a toddler, you wouldn't let them run, you know, 10 feet away from you. So you've got to teach them you're only allowed to run so far. So they're always on a line. So if I have puppies, they're always on a line. Now, they might trail the line or I might hold the line, but they are never allowed run too far away from me. Because a dog that's allowed to run too far away from you, it becomes an elastic band that eventually snaps.
Right.
So that your influence of control is gone.
So they're not on a lead.
They're trailing a line. Say like a horse lead rope or a piece of rope or something. So say about 10 feet long.
Yeah.
So if the dog gets a little bit beyond you, you can catch up with
this
it and stand on the line.
This is when you're training
yeah.
them. Yes, yeah,
but,
yeah.
But the whole idea is to never allow the dog to get that far away from you.
Okay.
Do you get me?
Yeah, but then when you take them off the lead.
Well, then they know it's a habit.
Aha,
think
right,
about
okay.
your toddler.
Right, fine. Yeah, yeah.
It's a habit. So
jumping up playfully on people.
Again, obviously it does that when it's off the lead and it's running away, having a bit of crack. That would also say to me that the dog doesn't find the owner as interesting as it should. So right. you need to do lots of play around the house.
You need to be more interesting.
Absolutely.
And drooling in the car.
Well, that's anxiety and hopefully the puppy will grow out of that. But dog crates in cars are a good idea because it keeps the dog contained. Again, cars are mobile. There's things moving outside, there's things moving inside. So to keep the dog in a small, dark space so that it can handle it. It doesn't have too much to take in.
Yeah, when you think about it, like, you know, evolution and all that, like,
yeah.
it must play with their head, yeah. havoc with their
I
brains.
Mean, I tell people that sometimes a dog living with us is like us landing on Mars.
Yes, yeah.
It's like, you know, they don't know what hooves are, they don't know what cars are, they don't know what plastic bags are. They're dogs.
Yeah. They're dogs. Can you ask Samantha, please, we have a three-year-old Westie who constantly barks at the TV anytime there's an animal on it. Whether that's a cartoon or real life, she's always done it from young. Any ideas, as we have a new baby now and it doesn't help with the dog barking.
Okay, I don't mean to sound disregarding, but I would just simply put the dog out of the room while the television is on. If there's animals on, you know the dog is going to do it, so take some control and management and you see the animal on TV, put the dog out of the room. Because again, the dog has been wound up for nothing. The dog doesn't understand that this is on
not
television.
A real animal,
so
yes.
again, it thinks it's chasing something and gets vexed and frustrated and then goes a little bit lula. So you might think it's funny, you might not think it's funny, it might be very annoying, but the dog is not actually enjoying itself. It might look like it's enjoying itself, but it's not.
But then, you see, the fire... Particularly now as we get into winter.
Yeah, yeah.
Like dogs love, and there's nothing nicer than seeing a dog snooze in front of a fire.
Yeah, that's if it's tired,
it's
right?
Postcard perfect.
Yeah, it's postcard perfect. But that's how after it's had a long walk or a good play or, do you know what I mean? That its brain is calm.
Yeah.
A dog's brain has to be calm before it can snooze beside the fire.
And that's a good point, isn't it? That certain breeds of dog need exercise, and if they don't get it, they don't react well.
Yeah, well, it's like you can imagine if we weren't ever taken out, if we were just stuck in our house in our garden. I don't care if your garden is 3 acres, you're still stuck in your house. So you need to get out and see the world, and sniffing is like reading the newspaper. Do you know what I mean? So
that's brilliant. Dear Samantha, we had a new baby recently and our dog, who is like our firstborn baby, seems to be depressed about it. Ooh, jealousy. It's not only in my head, as our friends and relatives have commented on it. My question is, what can I do to cheer her up? She's so good and doesn't interfere with our baby, but she is so sad.
She doesn't say what type of dog it is, Ray. And I would think that there's an awful lot of anthropomorphism going on.
You better explain that.
That the woman is kind of putting human emotions on the dog. That she might appear to be sad, but she might be a little bit perplexed or, things are out of sorts for a little while. She's adjusting. You know, it takes us all time to adjust to new situations.
Dogs can't be jealous, is that what you're saying?
They can be jealous, absolutely.
Yeah.
But being sad is a different thing, do you know what I mean? So I would need more information on that. But if she honestly feels the dog is sad, that when maybe the baby's asleep, maybe she can have the dog on her lap and do some snuggies or play ball with him in the sitting room or whatever. You know, while the baby's asleep, that's your time to engage with the dog if you're worried about your dog.
And has the dog got the smarts to know then that when the baby's up, that it's her time?
They could do.
A clever dog could.
And if you're seriously concerned about it and you have the financial resources, maybe hire a dog walker, you know?
Right. How much would a dog walker be?
Oh gosh, Ray, now you're asking the wrong person.
My dog is driven daft by the bangers. We had an email at the beginning of the show, actually. My dog is driven daft by the bangers at night time. He's genuinely scared and keeps barking. Is there such a thing as earplugs for dogs?
Not that I've heard of.
All right. How can I keep him calm over the next 4 weeks in the lead up to Halloween?
I would try and give him access to a small dark space or let him go upstairs onto the bed or into the bedroom, anywhere that the dog feels safe. Somebody was saying to me outside that they give their dog their pyjamas. So again, you know, your duvet or something with your smell. It's a bit like, you know, if your lover goes away, you might wear their sweatshirt.
Yes.
Do you know, so to give the dog any kind of sense of safety, and always in fear-based situations, especially Halloween, I would say rules do not apply. So if the dog is not allowed upstairs or he's not allowed on the sofa, those rules don't apply when the dog is fearful.
Right. We had two wonderful family dogs until recently. Our younger dog, Bobby, died from cancer. Sorry to hear that. An awful time for the whole family. Anyway, the older dog, Pete, has since gone downhill and seems to be pining for Bobby. We feel it's too soon to get another dog, but would it be good for Pete if we did? He's miserable and is not normally, he's not his normal bubbly self.
Again, I wouldn't recommend it, because then when do you stop? I had a lady a few years ago that had Great Danes, and every time one died, she replaced it. And then she rang me, because she was in her 70s, and said, Samantha, what will I do? I'm not getting another
one.
I'm not getting another one. So if you go down that line, it can certainly help, but at some point you've got to, you know, it's got to come to an end. So I would say maybe give the dog more company if you want another dog, because sometimes a dog is pining for an individual dog, for that relationship. It's not pining for a dog.
Yes.
Do you know, it's lost its companion. You getting another dog is not giving it, you know what I mean? It's like if you lose your wife and somebody brings over another woman and says, there you go.
I'm not going to comment on that.
But it doesn't work like that. He's pining for that particular dog.
Yeah.
Not necessarily another dog. So I would certainly take your time on that. And grief dogs do go through the grieving process. And as we know, it's a long process. So I would give it time.
Okay. Now, you will return in the future, Samantha Rawson.
I will.
Just
you will
to
have
let
me.
People know, we did get a statement from the Department of Justice on the Irish Civil Liberties Council thing, and we will read that up tomorrow. Out tomorrow, we've run out of time today. Samantha, thank you very much. Thank you. Sarah McInerney's on the way. We are back tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday.